And now Chapter 8, The Deliverance of Shalba. After talking with his charioteer, the son of Daruk, Pradyumna could understand the real circumstances. Therefore, he refreshed himself by washing his mouth and hands. And after arming himself properly with bows and arrows, he asked his charioteer to take him near the place where Shalba's commander-in-chief was standing. During the short absence of Pradyumna from the battlefield, Dhuman, Shalva's commander-in-chief, had been taking over the position of the soldiers of the Yadu dynasty. Appearing on the battlefield, Pradyumna immediately stopped him and struck him with 8 arrows. With 4 arrows, he killed Duman's 4 horses, and with 1 arrow, his chariot driver. With another arrow, he cut his bow in 2. With another, he cut his flag to pieces, and with the last, he severed his head from his body. On the other fronts, heroes like Gud, Satyaki, and Samba were killing the soldiers of Shalba. The soldiers staying with Shalba in the airplane were also killed in the fighting, and they fell into the ocean. Each party began to strike the opposite party very severely in a fierce, dangerous battle that continued for 27 days without stopping. While the fight was going on in the city of Dvarka, Krishna was staying at Indraprastha with the Pandavas and King Yudhisthira. The fighting with Shalva took place after the Rajasuya Jagya had been performed by King Yudhisthira and after the killing of Shishupal. When Lord Krishna understood that there was great danger in the city of Dvarka, he took permission from the elderly members of the Pandava family, especially from his aunt Kunti Devi, and started immediately for Dvarka. Lord Krishna began to think that while he was arriving in Hastinapur with Balaram after the killing of Shishupal, Shishupal's men must have attacked Dvarka. On reaching Dvarka, Lord Krishna saw that the whole city was greatly endangered. He placed Balaramji in a strategic position for the protection of the city, and he himself asked his charioteer Daruk to prepare to start. He said, "Daruk, please immediately take me to where Shalva is staying. You may know that this Shalva is a very powerful, mysterious man. Don't fear him in the least." As soon as he got his orders from Lord Krishna, Daruk had him seated on the chariot and drove very quickly toward Shalva. The chariot of Lord Krishna was marked with the flag bearing the insignia of Garuda, and as soon as the soldiers and warriors of the Yadu dynasty saw the flag, they could understand that Lord Krishna was on the battlefield. By this time, almost all the soldiers of Shalba had been killed, but when Shalba saw that Lord Krishna had come to the battlefield, he released a great, powerful weapon, which flew through the sky with a roaring sound like a great meteor. It was so bright that the whole sky lit up by its presence. But as soon as Lord Krishna appeared, he tore the great weapon into hundreds and thousands of pieces by releasing his own arrow. Lord Krishna struck Shalva with 16 arrows, and with showers of arrows, he overpowered the airplane just as the sun in a clear sky overpowers the whole sky by an unlimited number of molecules of sunshine. Shalva struck a severe blow to Krishna's left side where the Lord carried his bow, Shanga, and as a result, the Shanga bow fell from Lord Krishna's hand. This dropping of the bow was indeed wonderful. Great personalities and demigods who are observing the fighting between Shalva and Krishna were most perturbed by this, and they exclaimed, "Alas! Alas!" Shalva thought that he had become victorious, and with a roaring sound, he addressed Lord Krishna as follows. You rascal Krishna, you kidnapped Rukmini forcibly, even in our presence. You baffled my friend Shishupal and married Rukmini yourself. And in the great assembly at King Yudhishthira's Rajasuya Yajna, while my friend Shishupal was a little absent-minded, you took an opportunity to kill him. Everyone thinks that you are a great fighter and that no one can conquer you. So now you'll have to prove your strength. I think that if you stand before me any longer with my sharp arrows, I shall send you to a place wherefrom you will never return. To this Lord Krishna replied, Foolish Shalva, you are talking nonsensically. You do not know that the moment of death is already upon your head. Actual heroes do not talk much. They prove their prowess by practical exhibition of chivalrous activities. After saying this, Lord Krishna, in great anger, struck Shalva on the collarbone with his club so severely that Shalva began to bleed internally and tremble as if he were going to collapse from severe cold. Before Krishna was able to strike him again, however, Shalva became invisible by his mystic power. Within a few moments, a mysterious unknown man came before Lord Krishna. Crying loudly, he bowed down at the Lord's lotus feet and said to him, Since you are the most beloved son of your father, Vasudev, your mother, Devaki, has sent me to inform you of the unfortunate news that Shalva has arrested your father and taken him away by force, just as a butcher mercilessly takes away an animal. When Lord Krishna heard this unfortunate news from the unknown man, he at first became most perturbed, just like an ordinary human being. His face showed signs of grief, and he began to cry in a piteous tone. How could that happen? My brother Lord Balaram is there, and it is impossible for anyone to conquer Balaramji. He is in charge of Dvarka City, and I know he is always alert. How could Shalva possibly enter the city and arrest my father in that way? Whatever he may be, Shalva's power is limited, so how could it be possible that he has conquered the strength of Balaramji and taken away my father, arresting him as described by this man? Alas, destiny is, after all, very powerful. While Sri Krishna was thinking like this, Shalva brought before him in custody a man exactly resembling Vasudev, his father. These were all creations of the mystic power of Shalva. Shalva addressed Krishna, You rascal Krishna, look, this is your father who has begotten you and by whose mercy you are still living. Now just see how I kill your father. If you have any strength, then try to save him. The mystic juggler Shalva, speaking in this way before Lord Krishna, immediately cut off the head of the false Vasudev. Then, without hesitation, he took away the dead body and got into his airplane. Lord Krishna is the self-sufficient, supreme personality of Godhead. Yet because he was playing the role of a human being, he became very depressed for a moment, as if he had actually lost his father. But at the next moment, he could understand that the arrest and killing of his father were demonstrations of the mystic powers which Shalva had learned from the demon Maya. Coming to his right consciousness, he could see that there was no messenger and no head of his father, but that Shalva had left in his airplane, which was flying in the sky. He then began to think of slaying Shalva. Krishna's reaction is a controversial point among great authorities and saintly persons. How could Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the reservoir of all power and knowledge, be bewildered in such a way. Lamentation, aggrievement, and bewilderment are characteristics of conditioned souls. But how can such things affect the person of the Supreme, who is full of knowledge, power, and all opulence? Actually, it is not at all possible that Lord Krishna was misled by the mystic jugglery of Shalva. He was displaying his pastime in playing the role of a human being. Great saintly persons and sages who are engaged in the devotional service of the lotus feet of Lord Krishna and who have thus achieved the great perfection of self-realization have transcended the bewilderments of the bodily concept of life. Lord Krishna is the ultimate goal of life for such saintly persons. How then could Krishna have been bewildered by the mystic jugglery of Shalva? The conclusion is that Lord Krishna's bewilderment was another opulence of his Supreme Personality. When Shalva thought that Krishna had been bewildered by his mystic representations, he became encouraged and began to attack the Lord with greater strength and energy by showering volleys of arrows upon him. But the enthusiasm of Shalva can be compared to the speedy march of flies into a fire. Lord Krishna, by hurling his arrows with unfathomable strength, injured Shalva, whose armor, bow and jeweled helmet all scattered in pieces. With a crashing blow from Krishna's club, Shalva's wonderful airplane burst into pieces and fell into the sea. Shalva was very careful, and instead of crashing with the airplane, he managed to jump onto the land. He again rushed towards Lord Krishna. When Shalva ran swiftly to attack Krishna with his club, Lord Krishna cut off his hand, which fell to the ground with the club. Finally, deciding to kill him, the Lord took up his wonderful disc, which shone like the brilliant sun at the time of the dissolution of the material creation. When Lord Sri Krishna stood up with his disc to kill Shalva, he appeared just like the red sun rising over a mountain. Lord Krishna then cut off Shalva's head, and the head, with its earrings and helmet, fell to the ground. Shalva was thus killed in the same way as Vritrasura was killed by Indra, the king of heaven. When Shalva was killed, all his soldiers and followers cried, "Alas! Alas!" While Shalva's men were thus crying, the demigods from the heavenly planets showered flowers on Krishna and announced the victory by beating drums and blowing bugles. At this very moment, other friends of Shishupal, such as Dantavakra, appeared on the scene to fight with Krishna to avenge the death of Shishupal. When Dantavakra appeared before Lord Krishna, he was extremely angry. Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta purport of the third volume, 8th chapter of Krishna, The Deliverance of Shalva.